Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the 10th canto, chapter 8, and today's text is 5. Jyotisham Ayanam Sakshad Yat Taj Jnanam Atindriyam Pranitam Bhavata Yena Puman Veda Paravaram Jyotishamayanam Sakshad Yattaj Jnanam Atindriyam Pranitam Bhavatayena Puman Veda Paravaram Jyotishamayanam Sakshad Yattaj Jnanam Atindriyam Pranitam Bhavatayena Puman Veda Paravaram Jyotishamayanam Sakshad Yattaj Jnanam Atindriyam Pranitam Bhavatayena Puman Veda Paravaram. Please chant. Vaishnavis. Jyotishamayanam Sakshad Yattaj Jnanam Atindriyam Pranitam Bhavatayena Puman Veda Paravaram. So synonyms: Jyotisham, knowledge of astrology, along with other aspects of culture in human society, and specifically in civilized society, there must be knowledge of astrology. Ayanam, the movements of the stars and planets, in relationship to human society. Sakshat, directly. Yattajjnanam, such knowledge. Ati indriyam, which an ordinary person cannot understand, because it is beyond his vision. Pranitam bhavata, you have prepared a perfect book of knowledge. Yena, by which? Puman, any person, Veda, can understand. Para avaram, the cause and effect of destiny. O great saintly person, you have compiled the astrological knowledge by which one can understand past and present unseen things. By the strength of this knowledge, any human being can understand what he has done in his past life and how it affects his present life. This is known to you. Please repeat. O great saintly person, you have compiled the astrological knowledge by which one can understand past and present unseen things. By the strength of this knowledge, any human being can understand what he has done in his past life and how it affects his present life. This is known to you. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The word destiny is now defined. Unintelligent persons who do not understand the meaning of life are just like animals. Animals do not know the past, present, and future of life, nor are they able to understand it. But a human being can understand this if he is sober. Therefore, as stated in Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, text 13, Tiras Tatra Namuyati. A sober person is not bewildered. The simple truth is that although life is eternal, in this material world one changes from one body to another. Foolish people, especially in this age, do not understand this simple truth. Krishna says, Dehi no smenyata dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dehantara praptir dhiras tatra na muhyati. Translation, as the embodied soul continually passes in this body, from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, text 13. Krishna, the greatest authority, says that the body will change, and as soon as the body changes, one's whole program of work changes also. Today, I am a human being or a great personality, but with a little deviation from nature's law, I shall have to accept a different type of body. Today, I am a human being, but tomorrow I may become a dog. And then whatever activities I have performed in this life will be a failure. This simple truth is now rarely understood, but one who is a dhira can understand this. Those in this material world for material enjoyment should know that because their present position will cease to exist, they must be careful in how they act. This is also stated by Rishabhadev. Nasadu manye yata atmanoyam asanapi kleshara ashadeha. Fifth Canto, Chapter 5, Text 4. Although this body is temporary, as long as we have to live in this body, we must suffer. Whether one has a short life or a long life, one must suffer the threefold miseries of material life. Therefore, any gentleman, dhira, must be interested in Jyotish, astrology. Nanda Maharaj was trying to take advantage of the opportunity afforded by Garga Muni's presence. For Garga Muni was a great authority in this knowledge of astrology, by which one can see the unseen events of past, present, and future. It is the duty of a father to understand the astrological position of his children and do what is needed for their happiness. Now, taking advantage of the opportunity afforded by the presence of Garga Muni, Nanda Maharaj suggested that Garga Muni prepare a horoscope for Nanda's two sons, Krishna and Balaram. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamene Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschacadeshtarine Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshara Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Shapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadala Kamalam Shri Guru and Vaishyamangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivashakan Matangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosite Tapta Kancha Nagorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataruvyascha Kripa Sindhuva Evacha Patitanang Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is one of these purports that seems to contradict other things as Prabhupada said, because Prabhupada said on many occasions that only fools are interested in astrology. What's going to happen is going to happen. So it may seem a little bit confusing here. But the reason why Prabhupada warned us is because he knows of the mentality in Kali Yuga, how foolish people have become and gradually become more and more foolish in this age. So like everything else in life that we acquire materially, we misuse it. So we have the tendency to misuse this astrology. First of all, it's very rare to find a real astrologer in Kali Yuga, somebody who is not only conversant in the, you could say, the numerical side of astrology, but also has the adhikar, the qualifications, the quality of personality that is required to become a good astrologer. It's not enough just to remember the numbers and the facts and the figures. You have to have, actually, you have to be a devotee, like Garga Muni. Garga Muni is a great astrologer, and Nanda Maharaj is consulting him because he's also a great devotee. He doesn't just know Jyotish, he's also a great devotee. So whatever he says, Nanda Maharaj will accept as factual, because he's not a cheater. In Kali Yuga, these two classes become prominent, the cheaters and the cheated. There are those who know a little astrology, and they use it to cheat people. Yes, come, I'll read your palm, I'll read your chart, give me so much money and I'll make sure everything is all right. You see? Cheaters. Knowing that people want to be assured that everything will be all right materially, yes, I'll give you assurance. But there's this danger coming up, give me a little more money and I'll tell you how to avoid it. You see? It's always about gimme, gimme, gimme. So there's a cheater class. They want to cheat people, so they study a little bit, not just astrology, construction, anything. They study a little bit, and they cheat people. Yes, I'll fix your kitchen. I'll put that addition on your home. Just give me so much money. And then lo and behold, they didn't get the right permits. They didn't do it properly. The thing collapses, and you're left holding the bag. So in every sphere of life, they're cheaters. They know a little something, and they use that knowledge to cheat others. And then they're the cheated. They want to be cheated. They don't bother to have enough knowledge to avoid being cheated. Prabhupada uses the example of diamonds. If you don't know what is a diamond and you go out shopping in the marketplace, there are so many cheaters who will gladly give you plastic and tell you it's diamond. Cubic zirconium is diamond. Nowadays, actually, the fake diamonds are so good that you really have to be a trained gemologist to tell the difference. You have to put it under a microscope and really look carefully, because the fake diamonds have become so, so good. So in this atmosphere of cheaters and the cheated, if you don't want to be cheated, then you better get some knowledge yourself. You have to know. So if you're shopping in the spiritual marketplace, you have to have some understanding of what is spirit, what is matter, who is a real guru, who is not. You have to have some idea. Otherwise, it's so easy to be cheated. So, but ultimately, you cannot cheat Krishna. This we should all understand. If you say you believe in God, if you go further and say you accept that Krishna is God, then you should understand God's position in relation to your position and understand that you can't cheat God. As we say in ISKCON, you can cheat some of the people all of the time, all of the people some of the time, but you can't cheat Krishna even one time. So don't try. Don't try. So in other words, when you come, when you approach Krishna, when you approach God, you have to come with all humility. You have to come with full intention of surrendering. Otherwise, you are going to be bewildered. You cannot bewilder Krishna. Again, we can fool each other. I'm so advanced, I know so much. But Krishna knows everything. Krishna says, Vedaham samatitani, vartamani tavarjana, bhavishyami chabutani, mam tu vedana kashchana. He says, I know everything, past, present, and future. Here it's being discussed, past, present, and future. And I know everyone, but me nobody knows. This is Krishna's position. Nobody can know Krishna in full, because Krishna is unlimited. But Krishna knows us in full, everything that we've done in the past. Generally speaking, when people approach, again, some astrologer, or they approach, they want to look into their genealogy in the past. They don't want to hear that they were a mass murderer in their last life. They want to hear that they were a king or a queen or something like that. Nobody wants to know that. But this mass murder business is going on. Today, the day before Thanksgiving, already millions and millions of poor turkeys have been slaughtered. Millions. We're not talking about, you know, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands. Millions of them. So that responsibility, the karma for that is very, very heavy. And it's spread throughout the society. The person who raised those turkeys for slaughter, the person who transported them for slaughter, the person who slaughters them, the person who cooks the meat, sells the meat, and eats the meat. These six classes of personalities are all culpable. They're all going to be punished for the rivers of blood. You can't imagine. See, we're living in Los Angeles. How many have ever been to a turkey farm? Raise your hand. One person in the room. Two. So, generally, the mass of people who go to Vons and Ralphs and all these places to buy the carcasses, they have no idea. They've never been to a turkey farm in their life. They don't know how horribly how horrible conditions these poor birds are raised under. And of course, slaughtering is not fun, to be killed just because somebody wants to eat your flesh. People, that they don't want to know. They want to know I was a queen in my last life and I'm going to win the lottery next year and, you know, that kind of stuff they want to know. That's why they go to astrologer or having some trouble with in my relationships, what can I do? That they want to hear about. They don't want to hear about all the horrible things they've done in their past lives, even in this life, or to speak of the past lives. They don't want to hear. And they don't want to know the consequences. Therefore, I've always thought we're living in Hollywood and the, you know, previously Prabhupada said don't get involved in the movie business because people think it's not real and they won't. But now the state of the art of animation and all these things that they do in Hollywood are so fantastic now that when people go to the movies, it looks real. They see somebody pass through a wall and it looks real. They see somebody flying, it looks like they're actually flying. So I think now may be the time when we should put out a movie called Karma. Start out with Parikshit. The story is Garland and the sage, and he gets cursed. He's about to die, so Shukadeva Goswami comes to explain to him what a person about to die should concentrate on. And we should again take note, he has 7 days to live. Shukadeva Goswami did not immediately jump to this canto to start talking about Krishna's pastime. He started out explaining how the universe is situated, what's going on, what your duties are. All of these things are explained before we get to the 10th canto. So, when he gets to the 5th canto, he explains very clearly what are the consequences of sinful activity. Everything is explained there. If you cook, like everybody's going to do tomorrow, these birds, put them, for instance, in boiling oil to cook, you're going to be put in boiling oil. There's a special hell reserved for that. There's a hell where you're tied up. The meat eaters, they're tied up, and these animals come and rip their flesh while they're still alive. All of this is going on. So this needs to be very clearly explained. People have to understand it's not a free ride. You don't get a free ride that whatever you do, it's okay. No, it's not okay. So the 5th canto is there to convince us, totally convince us, that there is hell to pay for giving pain to others. There's even a hell where, this is how subtle it gets, If you do not receive somebody properly, somebody comes to your home and you give them the beady eye, what are you doing here? Why are you at my place? There's a hell where your eye gets plucked out by these birds with sharp beaks for doing that. For not receiving somebody properly. For looking at them like, who are you? What are you doing here? You know, you give that beady eye look. We've all experienced it. Either we've felt it or we've done it to others. There's a hell where you get punished for that. This is how subtle activity is in this world. Even the subtlest mistake that you make in relation to other living entities, you're punished for. Then we go on to the sixth canto. Actually, we should name the movie Second Chance. I think that would be a better title. It's encouraging. Because after describing all these hells in the fifth canto, Parikshit Maharaj, being a soft-hearted devotee, wonders how can people get out of this? Because it's obvious that almost everyone in this universe is headed for that direction. Almost everybody's making some sinful mistake in their life. So he's asking his guru, Shukadeva Goswami, how can people be saved from this condition? So Prabhupada said that Shukadeva Goswami tested him. He said, well, there are these parayashitas, these atonements that you can do. You do some sinful activity, you perform this atonement. You do that, you perform that atonement. But Parikshit Maharaj, being an intelligent devotee, said, that doesn't work. He says, like kunjara sotra, it's like the bathing of the elephant. The elephant goes into the lake or river, takes a very nice bath, cleanses himself. Some of you, everybody must have seen National Geographic. They bathe very thoroughly. Take the water, spray it. They have their own built-in shower head. And they clean and cleanse. And then they come out on the bank and they take some dirt and they throw it all over the body again. So Parikshit Maharaj said, this is, atonement is like that. People atone, they go to church or mosque or temple and they confess that they did something sinful and the priest says, okay, do this such and such to atone for that. But then again, because the heart is not clean, they go out and do the same thing again. Over and over and over again. So Parikshit Maharaj says, please tell me something else. How they can avoid this. So this is when Shukadeva Goswami tells the story of Ajamil. He was born in a nice Brahminical family. He was being raised very nicely, Brahmachari. But one day, he happened to see this low-class couple embracing in public, and it went to his heart. Not just the desire to do the same thing, but he wanted that woman. So he actually got her, and his life went downhill from there. He started committing all kinds of sinful activities, robbery, everything, you name it, he did it. And then he lived a pretty long life. It's usually not necessarily the case that because somebody's very sinful, they're going to die early. No. Sometimes those who are very sinful, they live a very long life. But those sinful reactions are simply piling up. They cannot see what's going to happen. So similarly, Ajamil could not see what was coming. But when then finally the time comes for him to leave his body, we know the story. And all of this can be shown nowadays very clearly. They have the technology to show this. The Yamadutas coming at the time of death. Some people are semi-aware of these creatures, the Yamadutas. When the end of life is coming, they become very restless because they see them waiting. According to the Shastra, it's not that they come right at the moment of death. They actually come in advance and camp out. They come in numbers. It's not just like one Yamaduta comes. It's a whole family. They come. And so sometimes people, just before death, they see all these weird creatures in the room. And they bring these dogs also. In many cultures, they have this concept of the hounds of death. Yes, because when the Yamadutas come, quite often they bring these dogs with them. And it's all very scary. So Ajamil, at the time of his death, he saw these really scary, I mean, forget the scariest Halloween mask you've seen. It's nothing compared to the Yamadutas. So they came, and they were starting to take him out of his body. But because he had named his youngest son Narayan, he was trying to take shelter of his youngest son, Narayana, but he uttered the holy name of God. Narayana. Everybody say, Narayana. Narayana. Narayana is the name of Krishna, which means he's the ultimate shelter of all living entities. Nara refers to the human beings. Ayana, he's the shelter. Narayana. So he yelled out to his son, Narayan, but Krishna took it. Oh, he's calling me. The Vishnu Dutas came. So Prabhupada explains very nicely in that regard that just as in your city, the police are always cruising around, and then when something happens, you sound the alarm, 911, 911, whatever, and they come. They come running. The cars come. We have it here almost every day, twice, 10 times a day, up and down Venice Boulevard, just like that. He said the Vishnu Dutas, they're also cruising. And when they hear their master's name, they come. So when they heard Narayan, they came to rescue Ajamil. And you know the conversation with the between the Vishnu Dutas and the Yamadutas. You cannot take him. Who are you? You look so beautiful, nicely dressed. Nobody has ever interfered with our business before. No one. Nobody interferes with our business. We are servants of Yamaraj. We have come to take the sinful person. How can you? No, you cannot take him. Utter the whole name of God. So they went back to Yamaraj. And this is the encouraging part. They went back to Yamaraj to inquire. Who are these guys? How could they stop us? We are your servants. We've never been interfered with before. Aren't you the supreme? We thought you were the supreme. So then Yamaraj explains. Bhakti yoga bhagavati. Tannama grihanadibi. That the bhakti yoga beginning with the chanting of the holy name of Krishna is the topmost religious activity. Topmost religious activity. So there are so many people who claim to be religious, and some of them, they're so irreligious that they oppose the real religion of the age, bhakti yoga, the chanting of Hare Krishna. Just like now in Russia again, they're becoming heavy with the devotees. They've passed some really draconian laws that, yes, you can practice your Hare Krishna thing, but you cannot preach to others. So if you invite somebody to your home, let's say you're a Russian devotee, you meet some nice person, you invite them to your home, you make them a nice meal, and you tell them about Krishna, you're culpable. They can fine you, ultimately put you in jail. You're not allowed to preach. Huh? Repeat it? No, only in Omsk. Everywhere they're still doing it. You cannot distribute books. You cannot distribute books. This is Putin just brought this in recently. They were, the case that the devotees won, were, there was a case against the Bhagavad Gita saying that it was an evil book. It's not that they won. But these laws have just been enacted saying that you cannot preach. It's going on. Devotees are trying to get out of Russia because of that. It's going on. That they're being attacked, they're being persecuted. If you distribute books, one devotee was telling me, well, I was just in Poland recently, and one devotee was explaining that devotees go out and very, with great difficulty, they collect $100 distributing books, and they get caught, they get fined $300. So you cannot keep doing that, raising $100 and spending $300 in a fine. So they, you know, a lot of the book distributors want to get out and go to other countries. But the point is anyway, that in this age, a lot of people who claim to be religious, just like now, because the so-called conservatives seem to be ascendant in America, a lot of people are worried about religious freedoms. That they can, and you never know. One party is in charge of the White House, the Senate, and the Congress. They could very easily pass any laws they want, practically. So we should take it seriously. We can't take it for granted that the freedom of religion that we experience right now in America is going to last forever. It may not. It will not, ultimately. But right now, it is there, so we should take advantage and go out and preach. And again, somebody should make this movie to convince people. People are more convinced by what they see on a big screen than what they hear. You see, they go to a movie and they see this movie Second Chance. They will accept it, a lot of them. They will, because it's a fact, actually. It's not. We're not making this up. These are facts. Death will come for everybody. We know that. What happens after death? That's what we're discussing. Some people think that nothing happens. Death is it, final. That's it. So just live a happy life, enjoy, eat, drink, and be merry. Wrong. Throughout your whole life, whatever you've done has created some reaction, good or bad, for you to enjoy yourself. We all experience that. Even again, as I say when I speak in colleges, even subtle activity. You look at somebody in the wrong way and they get mad at you. They want to beat you up. What are you looking at me like that for? Who are you? Subtle. So subtle action, just like looking at somebody, can create a heavy reaction. What to speak of when you actually do something like killing millions of turkeys. You think there's going to be no reaction? That's pretty foolish. So just as throughout your whole life, every action has produced reaction, And your whole life taken as a whole is going to produce a reaction, which is your next life, your next body. So you may go to a great astrologer, it's really not going to change the fact. It's not going to change the fact. If you go to a devotee astrologer, he or she can convince you how to act so this will be your last life in this material world. In other words, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is the only way to free yourself of the karmic reaction. So later on in that conversation, Yamaraj tells the Yamadutas, Agyanat Atavagyanat Uttama Shloka Namayat Sankirtatim Agang Pungso Dahed Edo Yatanala. He says, just as a fire can consume any amount of fuel that you put into it, just one time chanting the holy name of Krishna can free you from any amount of sinful reaction that you have. So people have to be convinced of that. First of all, that it's not a free ride. Everything that you do is producing some reaction, good or bad. This wanton wholesale slaughter of animals, you're not going to get away with it. The reaction for that is being visited on society. It's not that in the future it's going to happen. It is going on right now. That's why they cannot get rid of, in spite of so much cries for peace and let's get along. And no, as long as you continue to slaughter animals, the reactions will come in the form of human strife up to and including great wars. This is the reaction for killing so many animals. So many animals are slaughtered. And that blood is on the hands of society in general, and that reaction will come in the form generally of war. And so they can't get rid of it. Everybody would love to get along peacefully, and why can't we be friends? No, you can't. As long as you're causing so much pain to other living entities, that pain will be revisited. Because as human beings, animals don't have that capacity. They're wired. In other words, the super soul is directing them at every moment what to do. You are a tiger. Over there is a deer. So you sneak around this way and you